A few years ago, I did a homily telling you about how during a trip to Women's Beach Week in Emerald Isle, two of my best friends and I were chatting so much that we missed all of our turns and ended up in Wilmington. And from there, we saw a sign that said Swansboro. Yay, we thought, Swansboro's right next to Emerald Isle. So down that road we went, only to come to a sentry saying, "Welcome to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina." He was kind enough to let us drive across the tank target practice range, obviously not in use that day. And we found our way to Emerald Isle amid much teasing and laughter from husbands and friends. So about 2 years ago, these same two friends and I finally had a chance to drive together again to Emerald Isle. We laughed that we wouldn't get lost again on this reunion trip together. When we turned off of I-40 at the Magnolia exit, I asked one friend if I should take Route 24 or 58. She had been doing something with her phone and was a bit distracted. She said 58. Again, we were congratulating ourselves. We knew where we were going. But after driving a while, I saw a sign that said Greenville, 55 miles. And I went, uh-oh. So there in the middle of nowhere, when we were completely lost, we finally turned on the GPS, which guided us through narrow lanes with farmland on either side to get us back on track. One time, I even had to brake quickly when a wild turkey ran across the road in front of us. So as you could see, we hadn't quite learned our lesson from our first experience and obviously didn't turn on the GPS until we got lost the second time. We had forgotten that we needed a guide to get us to our destination. GPS, Global Positioning System. But I would like to suggest another meaning that will never get you lost. GPS, God's Son. How many times in our lives do we forget that unless we keep our guide close, we will get lost? Do we stop during our hectic and busy lives to say, "You know, Jesus, I could really use your help right about now. I'm not sure where I'm headed." I really think that when Jesus was speaking with his disciples, as he was in today's gospel reading, we could listen in and know he was speaking to us too. Jesus says to Simon, who is called Peter, his brother Andrew, James and John, who are sons of Zebedee, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Now, Jesus didn't choose his disciples based on education, wealth, or standing in the community. These men are just ordinary individuals called to an extraordinary task. I imagine that they would not have completely understood what it would mean to become fishers of people at that moment. Yet they followed without hesitation. But these new disciples needed a guide. And of course, Jesus would be that guide. It's like when you are smart enough to turn on your GPS before you begin your journey. You trust the guide to know what you don't know and lead you in the right direction. Today's psalm speaks to that same kind of dependent trust. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Trust is the inversion of fear. It allows us to relax, to find peace, even when we don't know what is coming. And those disciples had no idea what was coming their way. Jesus was moving swiftly and determinedly from one place to another. He planted dreams, raised expectations, and opened doors of possibility. He presented people with a dramatic alternative to the emptiness and despair that filled the lives of many and siphoned off their trust and hope. And that small band of men and the women who followed Jesus were the first church, the first assembly of believers, demonstrating what can happen when people are open to the possibility of God's transforming love taking hold in their lives. Is this not church at its best, making a difference in people's lives? Jesus had a wonderful way of not only speaking in a powerful manner, but he supported his words with persons who gave their witness, those disciples at his side. Those who traveled with Jesus had one thing in common. Jesus dramatically entered their lives, asked something from them, and they joyfully enlisted in an enterprise that changed their lives and others. They became agents of new possibility, and so can we. Each one of us is a vehicle of God's grace, for the power is not in us, but works through us. I'd like to think that we at St. Paul's are here to hold open the possibility of faith in a world of cynicism and unbelief. Every Sunday, we worship the living God and believe there is more good in God than there is bad in us. We can exist as a beacon of encouragement in the midst of people who can all too easily become discouraged. Families are under siege today. We live in a world filled with violence, danger, and disappointment. Our lives as a people and a nation are threatened by the threefold dangers: meaninglessness, hopelessness, and lovelessness. We know all too well that no one can live a significant life devoid of purpose, devoid of hope, and devoid of a caring community. Jesus calls people as they are, from where they are, being who they are. We are called to follow a guide who will surprise us and whom we can trust absolutely. There are those who have heard the call and are involved in all types of ministry here. Those who spend their time caring, feeding, cooking, listening, helping, healing, and praying. And through you all, Jesus speaks to prisoners, to refugees, to the homeless, the marginalized, the hungry, the sick, etc. It is a call that invites us to be disciples. For Jesus says to his church, "Listen for my voice. Leave your nets and follow me. You are the light into my world, and I will make you fish for people." What a mission we have been given. May our restless hearts hear his voice and follow him to proclaim the good news that God is the way of life, light, and love. Amen.